Well, again, it's about the third or fourth time I've said this. Can you tell I want you to remember? In 2 weeks, August 31st, we'll have our testimony Sunday. But as I said to you, I'm under a little bit of conviction as I stand here this morning because I don't feel like I've done due diligence with this. Now, you have been wonderful. We've had testimony services and you've been great. Maybe you didn't even know what you were doing. Come up and talking to Mike, okay, I can do that. And I know some of you like to do that. I can't let Rod get within 10 feet of the pulpit because he'll try to come up and talk to you. So you have to learn those things. So you've been wonderful, but I have failed to teach you why it is so important to have your testimony at a place in your life where you are ready to share it with someone. And I will tell you this, if you come up here, there are very few times in your life you're going to be asked to do that. Every time you have an opportunity, it's going to be between you and one other person. One other person is going to say something, and there's so many ways that you can start that conversation. I wear these little wrist guys a lot. Many of you have them, I know. I've got about 30 of them, thanks to Bill Reynolds. Bill is my wristband junkie supplier. He's my pusher. He's always coming up and going, hey, I got a new one for you. So the ones I'm wearing this morning, this is Psalm 23:6. It says, surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. Well, why would I wear that? Well, if someone asks me what that says, I'll tell them, what are they going to say to me? What's that mean? Buckle up. Sit down. Get comfortable. I'm paging through my Bible. No, I'm not either. I'm just sharing with them. And then this one, which I really like, is the word tetelestai. Now, these are the last words that Jesus spoke from the cross, where he said, it is finished. This is the Greek. Jesus spoke it in the Aramaic. But if you understand the importance of what Jesus said, he was not just completing his life. Because in the original language, tetelestai, or it is finished, means everything's paid. It was actually a business transaction statement that if Bill and I were doing a business transaction, when it was all over, we would grasp arms and speak the words in our language, tetelestai, which means it's paid in full. Now, Jesus, hanging on the cross, the last words he said was not, my life is over, it is finished. What was he saying? It's paid in full. It's paid in full. And you see, when you understand the opportunities that you have, and you don't even have to be able to pronounce that word, just go here, this is what it says. I know it's Greek, but here's why this is important to me. That could change someone's life. And so this morning, I want you to become aware of two basic truths as a foundation for what I want to share and for what's going to be taking place in a couple of weeks. Here's the two truths. Number one, the first is, you were meant to share your story. You were meant to share it. And secondly, there's great power in your story. You were meant to share it, and there's great power. Now, what's the story? You say, well, okay, well, great. What, Jack and the Beanstalk, what am I saying here? No, the story is what God has done for you. The story is how your life has been changed, how you're no longer the person that you used to be. Your story is how God's forgiveness and love made you into a brand new person. That's your story. And did you notice I didn't say that you have to have a lot of Bible verses memorized? I didn't say that. I didn't say that you've had to be in some kind of theological training. You don't even have to know the $6 words that are so often associated with church that people scratch their head and go, oh, eschatology, what in the world does that mean? You don't need any of that. You just need to be able to tell your story. But why do I mean you were meant to share it? Well, it's very simple. Because that is how God first revealed himself to us, was through his story. The first thing that he did was he put in place an object of his love for us. Do you know what that is? creation. God made creation for you and for me. He created the beauty of our world. Again, remembering that the most beautiful thing you've ever seen. April was traveling out in the West several weeks ago, and she was putting all these pictures online of everything she saw. Breathtaking beauty. It pales in comparison to what we're going to be seeing when we're with Him one day. As beautiful as this creation is. But then, after His creation was done, He took two people, Adam and Eve, and put them in the garden. Why? Because they were the first recipients of a testimony. They were the ones that got to see how much God loved them by the beauty of what it was that they were living in. He took them, placed them in there so that they could receive His story. Creation and His love is the testimony of God to each and every one of us. And the way the story has been presented and preserved for us is through His holy word. It's through the Bible. This is where we see that story unfolded. Now, the Bible has been called many things, and virtually all of them are true in some measure, but you know what I think this is? It's a storybook. It's a storybook of God's love for you and for me. The most powerful stories you will ever read about love are found in God's word. That's why we need to tell our story. It's a continuation of what it is that God had already started. And it's, believe me, the first and the best way that you are going to be able to introduce somebody to Jesus. I've talked to you about people coming to church. I've had pastors in conversations over the years, and I've been asked, you know, what's your strategy for 5 or 10 years? Meaning, how are you going to get more people in your church? That's basically what that means. What's your strategy for 5 or 10 years? My strategy? Same thing we're doing right now. We're going to love and worship God. We're going to love His people. That's what our strategy is. I understand what they're asking me, because for so long it was the responsibility of the pastor and the church to make sure that things were right in the community. I got to tell you something. I don't believe that. It's not my responsibility to make sure that we are having an impact in the community. Whose responsibility is it? It's yours. It's all of ours. That's why I teach like I do here, is because I want so desperately to equip you that when you leave this place from 1 o'clock on Sunday afternoon till 9 o'clock the next Sunday morning, you are taking the love of Jesus to the people around you. You're demonstrating it by how you live, by the things that you say. Here comes the tough one. You also are demonstrating it by the things you don't say. Keeping my mouth closed is a godly way to live. How many of you are really good at that? No, there's no hands up. Get out of here. I'm not, put your hand down. Although, Mitch, if I was going to say anybody, yeah, it probably would be you. Listen to what the Apostle John says. This is from his first epistle, 1 John 1:1-3. 1 John 1:1-3. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at, and our hands have touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of life. The life appeared, we have seen it, testified to it. We proclaim to you the eternal life, which was the Father and has appeared to us. We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us, and our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. How many times did I say the word proclaim? 3 or 4. Just in a couple of verses, John says, these are the things that we've seen and we want to proclaim them. John walked and lived and talked with Jesus for 3 years, every day. I don't know that there was one day that John was not in contact with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He was an eyewitness to the miracles that Jesus performed. And when John wrote his gospel and the epistles, what was he doing? He was telling his story. Sharing his experience of who God was and what Jesus had done for him. Now, I am assuming that the vast majority of you this morning are here because someone shared a story with you. Now, it may not have been face-to-face. Maybe you heard it on saw it on TV. There's been a number of people that have been watching shows, Christian, evangelistic, church shows, and they become Christians because of that. Perhaps you've heard someone talking and you were a part of maybe the radio or online or a podcast, something like that, whatever the vehicle was. But I can promise you there was a story involved. And if you were blessed and fortunate enough, like I was, to hear someone's personal testimony, it'll make such an impact that people will be hungry to know, how did that happen? Tell me more. You are here today likely because someone invited you to come. Not because of me, not because of Dave, not because of the food. I could see the food. But you're here probably because someone invited you to come. It's a part of your story. When you pursue an answer to those things, again, it's important to understand that when people come to you and ask you about your story, ask you to clarify, don't allow that to shake you. Don't make that someplace we'll go, well, that's a really good question. Here's the number of my pastor. Give him a call. He'll take care. No, you do it. You talk to them about what it is that God's done in your life. Because I can promise you this, from the moment you begin, change is taking place in that person's life. You say, whoa, Pastor Dave, I tried this. They never became a Christian. I've never led anybody to Christ. I've invited people to come to church. Not one person has come. Can I tell you something? You may have been just the first seed. You may have been the one that planted, that pushed that door open just a little bit, and someone else is going to come along and share a story, and that's going to water the seed that you planted. And someone else is going to come along and help to harvest it. You may never see the result of that, but you were vitally important to the plan of God for that person's life. That's why you never want to miss the opportunities that God gives you. I had a chance the other day to pray for somebody. Where was I? Whew, that's not good. I think I was in the store. It always seems to happen there. I was in the store, and I was standing behind somebody in line. That's what it was. I was standing behind somebody in line, and this lady was standing in front of me, and I don't know what happened. I made some comment about something, this or that. And I know I had a pie sitting on the belt, true confession. Eat lots of pie. All right, Larry, eat lots of pie. That'll help you to get bigger like you want to get. But this pie, she said, get that pie away from here. And I looked at her and I was like, I'm sorry, what? My hearing aid's down here. Get that up there. What was that? She said, if my husband sees that, I'm going to have to buy one for him. I said, okay, I'm willing to work with this. And then she turned around and she handed me a $5 bill. And I said, what's this for? She said, I just felt like God told me to bless you, just to do this for you. She said, you don't look like you need it, but I want it because I need to do what God told me to do. Do you know how much that blessed me? It was an incredible blessing. I've been the one giving money, but it's been really neat to be on the receiving end of that once in a while too. Again, not because I want money, I need money. No. But just to know that I've been a part of something that God asked someone else to do and they were obedient. Here's my question for you. How often are you obedient to those times? Ooh, somebody stop looking at me. How often are you obedient to those times, or how many times have you let the moment go and 5 minutes later you're going, oh, that's what Pastor was talking about. And see, that's my prayer for you, is that these things are going to become obvious. That it's going to be neon lights on this person. Pray for me. And it's not my job to come pray for them. It's not, boy, I hope things get better. It's you. Again, how much do I pray? What do I say? Whatever God puts on your heart. You know, it can be just as simple. Dear God, I pray your blessing over this brother, over this sister, that they would know your peace and your presence. Amen. How hard was that? How hard? Now, please don't think I'm berating you if that's not something that you've not done. I am not at all. But I want that to come to the forefront of your thinking. Because again, so often we sit in church and it's the responsibility of the pastor, the worship leader, the pastor's wife, the elders, the deacon, whatever it is. It's not our responsibility alone. It's all of ours. We are a church family. And Tina, who has been struggling with cancer for a long time, that's not a preferred hairstyle for her. It's the results of chemo. I knew you'd like that, Tina, if I said it. Everybody else was going, should I laugh at that? I don't know if I should laugh at that. I knew you'd like that. Yeah. You, Chuck, and Rod have kind of got the whole thing cornered right there, don't you? We appreciate that. But Tina, even with what she's dealing with, chemo treatments, radiation they're talking about now, I know that when Tina gets an opportunity, she's going to bless someone. She'll pray for them. That's what I want our hearts to be. You're called. You need to share your story. And we see throughout the scriptures how important the stories were. Think about the blind man that Jesus healed in John 9:25. The Bible says that he went to the Pharisees, and the Pharisees, of course, were trying to trap Jesus, trying to make it sound like it wasn't something good. Here's what the man said. He said, whether he, meaning Jesus, is a sinner or not, I don't know. This I do know. I once was blind, now I see. What a testimony. What a testimony. Or how about the woman at the well? Jesus comes to the Samaritan woman. The disciples are all in town buying food, and Jesus sits, a rabbi, a Jew, speaking to the Samaritan woman. And after it was all said and done, John 4:29, it says, she ran into the city and she said, come see a man who told me everything. Could this be the Messiah? What a testimony she just shared. And what was the result? Well, just go down to the 42nd verse. And the people say, now we have heard for ourselves. And we know that this man really is the Savior of the world. Her story changed the lives of the people who heard her. Your story will change someone's life. You say, Pastor Dave, what does that mean? I don't know. That's not up to me. That's up to the Holy Spirit. But I do know that He wants to work in and through each and every one of you. He wants to speak through you, using your words, using your experience, and the voice will even sound like you, but it's the Holy Spirit. I can tell you, my friends, there is nothing more exciting than that, to be able to share your testimony with someone. Again, I'm not saying the clouds are going to open and the angels are going to launch into a hallelujah chorus. You may see nothing out of it, but I promise you, you made an impact because of Jesus. But there are a lot of reasons why people won't share their testimony. And there are two primary ones, I think, that affect almost all of us one time or another. The first is, this is kind of personal. You know, this is like an intimate thing with me. I don't know if I'm comfortable sharing with what's going on. You knew I was going to get to this, didn't you? You knew it at some point, Monica, I was going to get to this. Monica's sharing something personal. You see, she's in the walker. She got a little bone on the top of her foot that got banged up really hard. You know what happened? It's tragic. She opened up the freezer, and a ham fell on her foot. Boom! Right down top of her foot. It was a smoked ham, so I think it's probably okay. You know, you smoked ham, that's even better. Now, would Monica have been comfortable coming up here and saying that in front of everybody? Obviously, I don't care. No, but it's important. I understand that when people, it's an intimate, personal thing, you may not be as willing to share. And I'm not saying you've got to go into every grimy detail. But getting up in front of people's hard, I understand. But the other reason, and I think this is more than that, is that many times we realize we're not living in accordance with what God's done for us. I don't know that I can get up and talk about this. I got some things going on in my life right now that aren't good. Maybe you're sitting here this morning and you've got a circumstance, you're in the midst of a time and your life's a bit of a mess. Maybe you've got this weakness in your life that you've had to deal with forever and yeah, I get prayed over and I have victory, then I fall back into it again. Maybe you're in the midst of something like that right now. And you feel like sharing your testimony time, makes you a hypocrite. I can assure you it doesn't. And as a matter of fact, the Apostle Paul is writing about this. If you have your Bibles, open them to the book of Galatians. Some of you are going, is he ever going to get to the Bible? Yeah, hang on. Galatians, the sixth chapter. I'll read the last several verses of that, 10 through 17. I think the screen said 16. That was my fault. Galatians 6. This is back towards the end of the Bible, Thessalonians, Philippians, Ephesians, Corinthians, all those guys. All right, Galatians 6, starting 10, says, therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. See what large letters I use as I write to you with my own hand. Those who want to make a good impression outwardly are trying to compel you to be circumcised. The only reason they do this is to avoid being persecuted for the cross of Christ. Not even those who are circumcised obey the law, yet they want you to be circumcised that they may boast about your flesh. May I never boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. Verse 15, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision means anything. What counts is a new creation, peace and mercy to all who follow this rule, even to the Israel of God. Finally, let no one cause me trouble, for I bear the mark of the body of Jesus Christ. See, the book of Galatians was written by Paul to a church, a new church. Now, Galatia, unlike Philippi and Ephesus and Corinth, which are all cities, Galatia was a region in north central Turkey today. Is where that's located. So Paul was writing a letter, not to a town, but to a church group living in that area. And his letter to them is divided into four parts. The first two chapters of this book, Paul is teaching on the source of the gospel, meaning this is of God. The third and the fourth chapters are his defense of that gospel. This is why we believe what we believe. And then the fifth and sixth chapters, as Paul often did, was the application of those things to our lives. And it's in the second half of this sixth chapter that we see what it is and how we are to be able to share what God has done for us. So how do you create a powerful testimony that can be shared with anyone at any time? Three things, real quick, and then I'm done. The first is this. Do good. That's the first thing you do to empower your testimony is to do good. Galatians 6:10, he says, therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. So Paul is saying, listen, we need to be good to one another. If you got a brother or sister, you need to be good to them. Be kind. Be generous. Don't speak harshly. Don't be ugly to one another. But what does he say just before that? He doesn't just say to God's people, who does he say? All people. And my friends, I can assure you that there are a few things that are going to empower your testimony more than where you are doing and being good to the people around you. All right, should we get to it? Right at it? What about those people that you see that just don't think, live, believe anything like you do? The people that are so aggressive, in your face, the people that you absolutely cannot stand to be around. Paul says, do good. Do good to them. Be kind to them. Jesus gave that demonstration. It said he stood in trial, on trial, and it said they accused him of all of these things that were absolute, flat-out lies. And what did Jesus do? He stood there silently, didn't say a word. You know, you don't always have to defend yourself. You do not always need to be proven right. You do not need to win every argument. Because it's more important as a child of God for me to increase the power of my testimony by doing good to the people around me. You've heard me say many times, this might sound incongruous to what it is I'm talking about this morning, but it's still true. People will remember much longer what you do as opposed to what you say. You do something kind for somebody, they're going to remember that for a long time. You say something nice to somebody, that's nice. Yeah, appreciate it. I told somebody in here how nice she looked today. I should tell you all that. No, Jeff, it wasn't you. No, I try to tell everybody you're looking, but you're not going to remember that. But if I show up at your home at 1 o'clock in the morning because you're having a crisis, that's something you're going to remember for a long time. What you do for people is going to seed into their minds and their hearts, and they will remember. But let's face it, it's a lot easier to say than it is to do, isn't it? Again, you find that person, I just don't care for them. I just don't like them. But you still have the opportunity to do good. And my friends, I want to encourage you to always take advantage of that. You know what the best thing somebody could say to you, that you don't like each other? Great thing for them to say to you, why did you just do that for me? Wouldn't it be great to hear that? Why are you so nice to me? Ooh, okay, here we go. I'm going to tell you why I'm being nice to you. It isn't me. It's Jesus Christ in me. Again, church, that's what it means to live your testimony. But the other struggle with that, and I'm not letting you off the hook, but it's important to understand this. You cannot do good all the time. You just can't. Because there is a sin nature, there's a flesh nature that is still a part of our lives. It is under the spirit man. It's under the spirit of God, but it's still present. Otherwise, none of you would sin. Again, anybody? No, don't put your hand up. We all know what our weaknesses are. We all know the things that give us problems, the things that we do that we should not, the things that we don't do that we should. Because the only way that you're going to be able to do good to that person who just gets under your skin in no time is through the presence of the Holy Spirit. It's through God's love being shown through you. And that brings the second thing that Paul says. The first is do good. The second one is keep your eyes focused on the cross. Keep your eyes focused on the cross. Now, why do I say that? And this is specifically related to testimonies. How many of you have been to a testimony or heard a testimony where they talk 12 minutes about how bad they used to be and 30 seconds that Jesus changed their life? Anybody ever heard a testimony like that? I have. As a matter of fact, churches will be packed if you promise them that someone's going to get up front and talk about an absolutely horrible life that they had and Jesus saved them. And they're different now. I had an experience like that. I was platforming a meeting for a guy doing a fundraiser, big fundraiser. And I had led the thing for several years. But the one year, he had a guy come in who was a former made man in the mafia. He was a former captain in the mafia. His story was mind-boggling, how God rescued him from that. But you know what the problem is? I remember a lot more the stories of the mafia than I do about what Jesus did for him. I'm not saying that's his problem or that was his fault. I don't remember how much he talked. But what I want to encourage us to do is that when you are telling your story, whether it's here, whether it's to someone in the store, spend more time talking about Jesus than about your own life. Does that make sense? Yeah, I want people to know what God saved me from, but I want them to know more about who Jesus is in my life now. That's who I used to be. This is who I am now. And the only way you're going to be able to do that is if you focus on the power of the cross. Your testimony, church, is to give glory to God. That's why you give a testimony. And the more we focus on His goodness and His mercy and His love, and Paul said this in the 14th verse, he said, I am more and more separated from the things of the world. And then here's the other thing that's really great. The world has less interest in me. I'm okay with that. You ever been a part of a group and you used to do a lot of things that you knew you probably shouldn't do? Maybe not horrible, but you knew you shouldn't. And suddenly your life is different. Do those people still want to hang out with you? Not normally. They don't want anything to do with you. Hey, goody two-shoes. Go take that somewhere else. Save that for church on Sunday. One of the things I know that's been important to Dave and to me and to the Booths and to a lot of you guys that play ball is that we still want Jesus to see us even on the ball field. Now, that's not always easy. If I come up with bases loaded and I ground out to the pitcher, I'm challenged in my Christianity for a few minutes there, Vance. I'm going to struggle. But to be able to witness no matter where you are. And so again, it isn't about that's what I was, that's then, this is now because of Jesus. And our testimony is to focus on the things of God. So we need to do good. It empowers your testimony when people see that you're living the way that you're speaking. We keep our eyes fixed on Him. The purpose of this is not to tell you how terrible I was. The purpose of this is so that you know the power of God. And then here's the last one. Realize and accept the fact that you are not the same anymore. You're not the same. Why that is important? Because when you get that into your spirit and nothing can shake that, yeah, I blew it. That doesn't change who I am. Well, here I am again at the same place. That doesn't change who I am. Okay, this was a dumpster fire over here. I've made a mess, but that still doesn't change who I am. When that becomes a part of your thinking, I am not the same as I was, that is what will give you the courage to share your story. I'm not perfect. I know. I'm not a perfect person. I am going to mess things up. But here's what the Apostle Paul writes to the church in Corinth, and then I'm done. Chapter 5, verse 17. You probably know this verse. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, they are a what? New creation. The old is gone, and the new has come. That's you, my friends. If you know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior this morning, the old is gone. You say, man, I still say the same things. I still do the same things. I still got the same struggles. Yes, it's a journey. That's why we need Him with us every day. And the truth is what gives you that confidence to share your story in spite of the fact that you still struggle. But people need to hear what God has done. The power of your testimony is the truth of what God has done in your life. But within that truth, you've got a responsibility to do good. People are watching you. You've heard me say this many times. If you've let anybody know you're a Christian, you're being watched. Oh, that's a Christian? Or, wow, that's probably why they're a Christian. They didn't do that. They didn't say that. They didn't get involved in that. It's important to declare what you believe and whose you are, but it's just as important, if not more, to live it every day. You need to focus on the cross, not on how bad you once were, but what God has done in you, and then accept and believe that you're a different person. My friends, these things, I am convinced, will make your testimony a powerful declaration of the life-changing experience of accepting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And as I do virtually every week, if you're here this morning and you have never asked Jesus to become the Lord of your life, I want to give you that opportunity this morning. If you're watching online and you have never asked Jesus Christ to come to be the Lord of your life, that is what brings the change. Everyone who is in Christ is a new creation. The old is gone. Everything has become new. And then next week, I'm going to share with you four things that can ruin your testimony. You say, oh, that's encouraging. No. I'm not saying it has to. But I'm saying there are four actions that can ruin your testimony. And what I'm praying you're going to hear and understand is those things do not need to be a part of my life. My testimony, I want that to be sure for who He is. But God is always with us, and He'll enable you to share that story every opportunity that He presents to you. Let's pray together. Well, Father, I do thank You this morning for the truth of Your word. And I thank You, Father, that truly each of us do have a story. Every one of us. And whether it's a story of how I first came to recognize and to know Your love for me, perhaps it's a story, God, of how You rescued me out of a terrible situation. Maybe my story is just an answer to prayer that I got the other day. Something that I just want to give God the glory for. Whatever it is, Father, may we all understand and recognize that that story is important for people to hear. And now, Father, again, if there's anyone here this morning that needs to start their story, the Bible tells us that if we believe that Jesus is the Son of God, if we believe that he died and rose again, if we confess our sins and ask Jesus to come to be the Lord of my life, I will be saved. And so, Father, I ask that if there is anyone that is doing that right now for the first time, the Bible tells us, first of all, the angels are rejoicing. There's a party in heaven every time someone asks you to come to be Lord. But, Father, I pray that that person would know without a shadow of a doubt they're now a new person. They may look the same. They sound the same. It might take a little bit of time to deal with those things that have always been a part of their lives, but they're a new creation, and you are present with them. And so, God, I give you thanks for that now. And I pray, God, that as we leave this place, you're going to be bringing people to allow us to share our story. You're going to be bringing people, God, to allow us to be able to just pray a word of encouragement over them, perhaps to just speak a word of encouragement, to give something somebody that they might desperately need. And Father, I just pray that we would hear your voice, that we would be obedient, and that we would know, God, that it is because of you that we can say these things. I'm not perfect. I've got struggles. I've got difficulties. But God, that's not necessary for those things to be gone in order for me to be able to witness to the power of your love for me. Because the opportunity is also going to come for me to continue to grow, to continue to learn what it means to be your child. I pray your blessing over each and every person here. Go with us, protect us, and I pray, God, as we come back together again next week, that we do so expectant of great and awesome things, because you are a great and an awesome God. We pray all these things in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the name above all names. Amen.